He hadn't expected to wake up. He'd said sorry and goodbye and all that. The lights scared him.
Turn those off!
He didn't recognize his own voice. Then a dark shape came between him and the light. For an instant, he saw it flying away, silhouetted against the light. Then it resolved into a person beside the bed.
Take it easy, Serrano.
He blinked, and his vision cleared. He was a Serrano, though he wasn't sure which one. Serrano meant duty, meant expectations, meant someone had died, and it was his fault.
How many?
Do you know your name?
Serrano.
Full name?
Baron blinked again. He was fairly sure he wasn't one of the female Serranos.
Sabato.
Still confused. Back to sleep, son.
He was fairly sure it wasn't his father. Darkness closed over him while he was still puzzling about it. The next time, he woke with brutal clarity, perfectly aware of who he was, Lieutenant Junior Grade Baron Serrano, and what had happened. Because he had screwed up, men were dead. He was no more use than he had been on Kosciusko when he'd been a captive. His head felt as if someone were hitting it with a hammer, and he knew that was right and just.
Do you know your name?
Baron glanced over at the person in the green scrubs, recognized him as belonging in sickbay.
Yes. Baron Serrano. Lieutenant, junior grade.
Do you know where you are?
Sickbay, Rosa Major.
Right. Do you know what day it is?
No. Was I knocked out?
You could put it that way. You could also say you were damn near killed. Do you remember any of it?
No.
He didn't, really, though he had a few burning images. A dark shape flying through flame, a great black gap with stars beyond.
Somebody died.
Yeah, but a damn sight fewer than there'd have been without you.
How many?
Two. The idiot who panicked, and somebody blown out the hole in the bulkhead. Only, he hit the edge. Three of you with injuries. Burns, broken bones. You're the worst. You were right in the middle of it, from what I gather. But you're alive. Now, answer me some more questions, son, so I can get on with my work.
Sure.
Who's chair of the Grand Council?
Hobart Consuline?
Grand Admiral?
Savanche.
Who's captain of this ship?
I can't remember.
That's all right. What's 2 plus 2?
4.
Good. Now, what hurts?
My head.
Baron tried to ask himself if anything else hurt, but his head dominated.
Well, we can't put you in a regen tank until the concussion resolves. The pressure's down. We've done some surgical fixation. That's why you're mostly immobilized.
Baron hadn't noticed, but now he realized he wasn't able to move. The next day, his seniors descended on him in a group. He braced himself for condemnation, but instead they told him he was a credit to the service. He couldn't understand why they were praising him when it was his fault to start with. If he'd paid more attention during his ensign rotation in environmental, he'd have known they used a specialized chem scan. He wouldn't have ignored Juan's complaint that his unit didn't have all those fancy names. If he'd paid more attention in chemistry, he'd have known that methane had a molecular weight of 16. He'd have known that even at low pressure and low temperature, oxygen and methane formed an explosive mix across a wide range of concentrations. If he'd known Gormley better, if he'd had more persuasive ability, more command presence, the kid wouldn't have panicked and bolted like that. If he'd known what he should have known, if he'd made sure they had the right equipment, the explosion would never have happened. Gormley would still be alive, Batenkin would still be alive, O'Neill and Avere and Talene wouldn't have been hurt. There wouldn't be a hole in that bulkhead, and the ship wouldn't be missing almost half its life support. The headache subsided, but the ache in his heart did not. When O'Neill came and thanked him a few days later, that made it worse.
I'm sorry. I should have...
You did the best you could, sir. I tell you the truth, when you said methane, I sort of froze. I couldn't think, just wanted to run like Gormley did. But you had a plan.
Not much of one.
That's not what the environmental officer said. He said it was a goddamn miracle anyone got out alive, and the ship didn't blow. And he wouldn't have liked to stand there the way you did.
I can't remember much of it, to be honest.
Well, just as well, probably. Aver and Helene were in the lock. Batenkin and I were next, and Batenkin had unclipped to go through when the flash came. The overpressure slammed the lock back through into the corridor. That's how Aver and Helene got hurt. Smacked against the bulkhead there. Then it sucked back out, Batenkin with it. If I hadn't been holding on to the safety bar, I'd have gone too. I didn't see what happened to you, exactly, but they found you kind of caught in some of the piping. Your leg had jammed, and they think that's what kept you from being swept out with a blast. Gormley was dead, and you were alive, just barely.
Baron blinked back tears he hoped O'Neill didn't see.
I couldn't stop him. I was too far.
Now, sir, you know if you'd moved, it would have done the same thing. You gave us all the best chance you could, just standing there. Nobody's blaming you.
How's the ship?
Limping along. I doubt they'll be able to do much but scrap her. Lost a third of the FTL nodes. They're sending a DSR here to see if they can do anything.
They wouldn't send a deep space repair ship unless Rosa Major couldn't make it back on her own. Baron pushed away the memory of the Kosciusko going to the rescue, of himself as captive, that earlier humiliation.
Got two of the mutineer ships, but three made it out of the system. The good news? Fleet's got the Copper Mountain system back. Scuttlebutt is, they're sending wounded there for advanced care.
Baron's last memory of Copper Mountain was that ridiculous quarrel with Esme. Suddenly, he wanted Esme, wanted her fiercely. But what would she say? Esme, twice and three times a hero, who always did the right thing in a crisis. What would she think of him? Would she be ashamed? And she wasn't even in Fleet anymore.
Will I ever see her again?